fighting for America.
My message to Republicans is join us. Get on board. They don't do anything except block me.
This is not about impeachment. This is about his faithfully executing the laws of our country.
Fighting for Idaho.
With one word of participation from the governor, all of this would have gone away. This onslaught is because the party would not bend over relative to the health care exchange.
Fighting for you.
We don't need more laws. We need virtue. And looking to texts like the Bible and to the Constitution and this stepping away from the moral decay that has infiltrated our society that I think will save this country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by Stacey Knutson and Stephanie Zimmerman. Out of breath, ladies. Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, sorry.
You're definitely out of breath, huh?
Yeah. I will make this confession. It's my fault. We're late. I'm not used to traffic at 8 a.m. I'm usually at home fixing my kids' breakfast at this point. I'm sorry. Is that good?
Well, you would think that I was mad at you for being late the way you're talking about this.
Well, you did seem a little peeved.
Well, that was off the camera, off the mic.
Kevin is wonderful. Now, he's not on the camera at all.
Now you're exposing me for who I really am. That's not how it's supposed to work. So let's talk a little bit about your group and for people that would love to join it and the State of Common Core here in the state of Idaho. And ladies, you just jump in here. You're veterans of this program. So tell us a little bit about the group and where we are.
The group is Idahoans for Local Education, and it was started by Stephanie Zimmerman. And we are working to improve education here in Idaho. And most the focus right now is to remove us from Common Core and the programs associated with Common Core. And so that's been our real focus, and trying to make sure that we're aware of different policies and legislation that's being passed that would remove local decision-making.
Well, why is Common Core so dangerous? Tea Party Bob and I started throwing things at each other on Saturday, and I said, you know, Tea Party Bob, a lot of educators in Idaho are in favor of it. You got the business establishment. You got everybody else that seem to be in favor of it. Now you have Glenn Beck, a very powerful entity unto his own, saying that this is bad. We have you guys before really a lot of people were concerned about the dangers of Common Core doing this on your own time. So what are some of the issues involving with Common Core that y'all have a problem with?
Well, the big one and the first one for me is the fact that it's a top-down approach. It comes from the federal government. It does away with any local control over our schools. You know, right now, you have a hard enough time going to your local school district and saying, I'm having a problem in this with what's being taught in my kid's school. Change it. Does Bill Gates have an 800 number? Does the Federal Department of Education have an 800 number where you can go and you can complain? There are just that many more layers that you have to go through before you can affect change in your children's school. And that, for me, is the largest issue by far. There are others. There's the cost of it that we don't understand. There's the poor quality of the standards. There are a number of things, but that, for me, is the big one.
Then why do we have educators, though, that say it's a good thing?
Well, I'll address a couple of the groups that you talked about, the business community or at least the Chamber of Commerce. There isn't a single group that I know of, and if the listeners out there and they can and correct me, that they know of somebody that has not received a grant or money to promote Common Core from the Bill Gates, then and are out there and they just love it and they've created a grassroots movement because they love it. I don't know of any group like that. Every group that is out promoting it has received money to promote it. The Fordham Institute, the Chambers of Commerce, the NEA, the PTAs, the national group, the PTAs. So a lot of these groups, ahead of it even being really released and available to parents and students, were going to rah-rah camps about the importance and how wonderful this was going to be. And they were receiving grant money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to promote it and to champion it. And so a lot of these things, like when you say educators really like it, here in Idaho, we've really only been working with it actually completely in place for 1 year, and we still haven't had a year where the teachers have been held accountable to the new test. So you know, it's really preliminary to say that all of these educators really like it, because there still isn't many states where it's been in effect and they've been able to see a long-term effect on students and how it improves testing. In Kentucky, where they're ahead of us, and they have been using the standards and been testing, all of their test scores went down. Every metric that they set for themselves to meet in Kentucky by using the Common Core standards, they did not meet. So there's, you know, there's one area
right,
you can look at.
Let me let you catch your breath here at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. As we talk more about Common Core, let's talk a little bit about, you know, isn't it too soon to be so negative? And this is where Tea Party Bob was very adamant with me on Saturday, and we urge you to listen to our Saturday show. I mean, we went from 49th to 50th, and all of a sudden he's saying, well, it's Common Core's fault. Isn't it too early to be blaming Common Core for the state's, well, the state could be doing better as far as education standards?
49th to 50th, according to who? What group? You know, there are a lot of different metrics that are measured, and Idaho students actually don't perform that poorly if you look at the NAEP tests. They perform right in the middle of the pack. So what are we 49th and 50th out of? Every state, it's funny, so many states you go to, Texas is 50th, Utah is 50th, Louisiana is 50th. 50th in what? We can't have four or five states being 50th, you know. So, it is too early to blame where things have gone in Idaho.
Well, a lot of people have issues with education in the state. You take a look at all the ads saying don't fail, carry on, okay. Drive on.
Okay, that's Albertson's Foundation. Let me explain Albertson to you a little bit. They belong to a philanthropic group, and my mind is going blank on the name of the group right now.
It happens when you have the red carpet, the prestige, the spotlights here at the Palatial Broadcast Center.
I know, but I think the group is actually called the Philanthropy Group. They belong to that group. That is a larger group of charities in that run in the same circles as Bill Gates and all those education reformers. Also, the CEO of the Albertson Foundation was one of the largest stockholders in K-12 Inc., which is a charter school. There is a portion of Common Core, the four pillars. One of them is turning around low-performing schools. And that sounds great. We all want to turn around low-performing schools. But how do we do that? We bring in corporate charter schools. As a stockholder in a corporate charter school, he wants to influence it so that we can bring in more of these corporate charter schools. So they have a stake in this game. So, you know, I don't see a lot of – I don't take a lot of what Albertsons says very seriously, particularly when it comes to education.
All right, let's go to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Tom Munns.
I just want to say thank you to the ladies, and thank you for you to let them on this morning, Kevin. That's awesome. This is such a complex topic that there probably 3 hours probably wouldn't even be enough time for people to get into it. I had a couple of things. One comment I wanted to make was the corporate interests, and constitutionally how corporate interests really have no involvement in education because they can hijack the system of the people through money. And the other question I have is I'd like the girls to be able to explain how Props 1, 2, and 3 are Common Core and related to the ESEA waiver.
You know, that's a little too inside. Can you, you know, break it down to something the rest of us can figure out here?
Well, basically what it comes down to is a lot of us know that the Common Core, or that Props 1, 2, and 3 actually failed, but somehow the technology and the rest of it ended up getting sliding through anyway. And what we find out is that the grants through private interests actually subverted the will of the right of the people to be able to vote them down, so we ended up with them anyway. And so I think a lot of it, when you were talking about it, was the fact that if we allow private interests through money, it's very easy for them to be able to take away the power that is inherent in the people for their education and force us into something that is very subversive, very detrimental to our children and to our freedom.
Okay, well, I would say this. Okay, so what happened with Common Core is we've kind of been sold in Idaho by this Superintendent Luna and others that there's nothing involved in Common Core except a set of higher standards.
By the way, we did offer the state superintendent and others to come in and speak with you both, and they declined. They
yes.
said they've debated enough.
Yeah.
We'll go.
They've had enough of you two.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
So But it was not. It's a whole system of education reform, which the standards are one part of. And so the props 1, 2, and 3, we made agreements with the federal government to receive money. And part of the agreements for those money included the ideas and the principles that were included in props 1, 2, and 3. Those were evidence that we gave to the federal government that we were meeting the federal guidelines. And so when Idaho voters got involved and they removed props 1, 2, and 3, then all of a sudden we got a letter from Arne Duncan saying you are in violation of your waiver. You are no longer meeting the requirements that we laid out for your grant money. And that is what he was referring to, the ESEA waiver. And so the state has been scrambling to get a new waiver in place and to re-meet these demands. And so here we had pay for performance was part of the requirement for meeting the four pillars that come with Common Core. And so that was put back in, and the legislative, it's no longer under a law, but we just refunded it under a different section in our education funding. And so several of the things that were contained in Props 1, 2, and 3 are back in because they are a requirement of the federal government in order to receive these waivers and to continue to have the grant money. And I would point out, you know, so people say, okay, well, we want grant money or we want money from the federal government. But this isn't money that we then get to use in Idaho to build a new school or to improve the dollar amount per student spent. It is money that goes specifically to run the federal program that we agreed to sign up for. And that money only lasts for a certain amount of time, and then Idaho voters and taxpayers are on the hook to keep that program going forward. So, I mean, and I don't know if you'd have anything to add to that.
Are we still on Tom Munz's question? All right, Tom, yeah. Thank you for the call. 580-KIDO. We go to Tea Party Bob at 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Your thought, if it isn't Mr. Sparkly there, Tea Party Bob there. I'm still smarting over the spanking you gave me Saturday morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, ladies. Thank you very much for coming on. You know, this is one of the biggest issues in our state that I do think we can change in the next legislative session.
Now, you and I got into it because just the same issue that myself and the ladies got into concerning Common Core, isn't it? And Bob, give us your thoughts. Isn't it too early to be pulling the plug on this thing?
You know, they said it was too early in New York. They said it was too early in Kentucky. But most of the testing that's been done are showing lower scores in almost all of the states. And, again, I think that's part of the reason that they are dropping this. But I think the girls come up with some other very good reasons. Number one, there's just too much money involved from too many outside sources. And I always say follow the money, as you know me. And the other thing is that Leanne Castor had brought up an interesting point in that this SBAC test is a test that is basically coming down to psychometrics where they're doing some profiling in these kids. I've taken these tests before when I was going into the Navy for top secret clearances, but they're doing it even more now. I do understand that Mr. Blukoff is not for the SBAC test, but I kind of like to ask you gals, do you think we can actually dump this Common Core and institute something that is better? Something that is more stable, that's locally run, where the parents and the actual boards are starting to listen to the people and not to the politicians.
Okay, got to make a little admission here. I don't have a set of headphones, so I'm listening.
The audience doesn't care. All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call. Let's get you to traffic at 580 KIDO. Good morning.
John Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on about Common Core. So Tea Party Bob wants it all scrapped, even though it hasn't really been implemented in the Gem State, and wants to come up with something, some type of local alternative. Well, if we had a local alternative, we wouldn't be in the fix that we're in, would we?
You know, we have alternatives, things that we can use. We've got Massachusetts English Language Arts Standards, which were the top in the nation. We've got permission.
Isn't that what Common Core is,
that
Idaho has the same standards as Massachusetts?
Oh, well, yeah, we have the same standards as Massachusetts now. But Massachusetts standards pre-Common Core were much higher. It's well known in Massachusetts that in order to adopt Common Core, they lowered their standards. We've also got access to California's math standards. They've said go ahead and use them as long as you're not planning on selling them to make money off of them. You can have them. California had the top math standards in the nation pre-Common Core. Now, you're also saying, you know, we haven't implemented it in Idaho. You know, how do we know it's going to fail? Well, it's failed everywhere it's been fully implemented. You know, the saying is, you know, a wise person learns from their mistakes. A wiser person learns from other people's mistakes. Let's learn from New York and Kentucky and all those states that are further ahead in implementing it. And let's not do this to our children. Let's not do this to our state. Let's do something better, you know, and,
But really, that's easier said than done when you have no child left behind, when you have all these attempts at making it better, and haven't the federalization of it really made it worse.
Well, let's get the federal government out of it then.
Well, then when are we going to get the money for education?
Well, this is just another federal program.
Since no one will debate you, then now I
have to. That's all right.
I have to play, let's play a liberal here.
This is just, you shouldn't say liberal because there are several liberals that are against Common Core. So you just the other side. But the federal government, this is a federal government program. So this isn't a new thing outside of the federal government. This is just a new thing that the federal government is imposing on the states. So this is just No Child Left Behind on steroids. So now we are going to, the tests are going to be even more, they're going to be held even more accountable. They're going to have more weight. And now we're all being held accountable to one set of standards instead of a variety of set of standards. So there's no difference between the mandates with No Child Left Behind and this. It's just that we've given more of our control over to the federal government. We've said you can now be in charge of the tests that our kids will use, and we'll take the, you know, we'll lose our control over that at the state, and you can now dictate which standards our kids will be held accountable to. So this is No Child Left Behind under a new name with more strings attached to the federal government. What we're saying is let's go back to, let's have a state set of standards that are the highest, let's pick the highest in the nation. That the Fordham Institute is the one that's been out promoting Common Core, and they rated everybody's standards. They're the ones that rated Massachusetts and California higher than the Common Core standards.
Let me hit you guys with this here at 580KIDO. Every state has a unique culture, a unique motivation. And it's great that on one hand we have people aspiring to the same standards as the state of Massachusetts, which I have some experience with here at 580KIDO, but really the resources are different in Massachusetts as they are in Georgia, as they are in Ohio, as they are in Idaho, right?
And actually they found that the closer to home that standards are written, the better students perform, for just that reason, because the people that are writing the standards and that are teaching the students understand the culture and the difficulties and the family support and all those different things that come into play. So we could take Massachusetts standards, and we can adopt them and fix them and change them to make them work for Idaho's specific, you know, purposes. That's not to say that they won't be Idaho's, you know, just because we're adopting Massachusetts. We can do with them what we need to and still keep them the high standards, but implement them in such a manner that they are uniquely Idaho, which is the direction we need to go. Yeah, you know, we do get a certain set of funds from the federal government for education, but those funds come with very specific, you know, strings attached and for very specific programs. And we all know that with the federal government, no matter what the program is, you get $10 to implement what ends up being down the road a $25 program. So eventually the taxpayers end up paying for federal dollars, you know, and even if you look at it that way, where does the federal government get their dollars? They get it from our pockets anyway. So, I mean, just let's keep the money here at home and spend it here at home.
Let's go. Well, we were going to go back to the phones, but the phones have gone away from us here at 580KIDO. Okay, if you two were the education czars in the state, what would you do? Let's empower you two, being the activists that you are. What common sense approach would you take to redefining our education system? Remember, it's a huge bureaucracy. It's over half the general fund, so there's a lot of working parts here.
I would immediately cut down the bureaucracy and put the funds. I would do a mandate in our funding that a certain amount of funding has to go into the classroom. It can't be used any other way. It has to be used in the classroom, whether that's improving teacher salaries or the amount per student actually used in the classroom, which would force us to trim the bureaucracy and focus on what's actually happening in the classroom. The other states have tried to do that, and it's always failed because of the massive bureaucracy. I would make sure that we implemented the – I would have a set of standards that we decided on locally that was tried and tested and we know performs well. And I would have a review process that involved the freshman college teachers with the high school teachers that are working together, collaborating, saying this is what the kids need to know to be successful their freshman year. Let's set that as the, and I'd make sure that the standard is a minimum, not the maximum, which would mean that we would have to evaluate how we are doing testing. So I would make the testing very much not so critical as it is now as far as for teacher ranking and all of those different things, because what that does is put an inordinate amount of effort into achieving a test score instead of educating kids.
Is that legitimate, the teacher ranking, or is it all subjective? I mean, can you gin the results one way or another?
Sure, because you can set the cut scores wherever you want to on the test, and that changes depending on who's in charge and the politics and what they're trying to prove with their data. So that's why test scores are such an arbitrary way of deciding how teachers are rewarded, how schools are ranked, which is why it should involve a lot more than that, and why, you know, there's some kids that no matter what you do are never going to be proficient on a test, but they can show proficiencies in other ways. And so there's a lot of things that I feel like my idea to educating is just a lot of more common sense, empowering the teachers to have more freedom in their classrooms and to be able to come up with ways with each individual student and with parents of showing this is how we're going to show that the child's proficient, and having a principal that's really engaged. And, you know, so there's a lot of ways. And we actually as a state have the power and the right to push back on the federal government and say, we're not going to meet the arbitrary standard of no child left behind, which the 100% proficiency. We're going to decide in our state, what does it really mean to have a well-educated child? And then we're going to make sure that our schools on a local level and local school boards are meeting those standards.
You sound like a candidate already. We'll get back to part two of that answer in a minute, plus your phone calls about Common Core, 580-5436. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
580 KIDO.
More done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. As we move along here, Stephanie Zimmerman, Stacy Knudsen, as we talk more about Common Core and your group's name again, Idahoans for Local Education, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, when we last left, that would be Stacy, not to be confused with Stephanie, talked about what she would do if she were the education grand poobah in the state of Idaho. Stephanie, what about you?
I would do the same thing Stacy would do. And there's,
oh, my goodness.
that sounds like a cop-out, but it's the truth. I would do what I needed to return control of our local schools to the parents, to the teachers. They're on the local level. They understand the kids. They know what the kids need. You know, if you empower parents, I guarantee you they're going to be more likely to pass levies. They're going to approve funding. Right now, parents feel like they have no say in their children's education because it's all from a top-down level. Our schools have to meet these federal mandates. Remove those. Let the parents move in. Let the parents do what they know is best for students and teachers. And it's going to change the whole dynamic.
Right, but I mean, a lot. Every time that I've been in a school, people say, "Well, why don't the parents can get involved? They just have to show up. They just have to go in to and talk to the teachers and talk to everyone else." Is it that simple?
It can be if they feel like they can make a difference. If they feel like they're not making any difference, why show up?
Right now, you have very little influence. So you don't like something that's being taught?
I was going to answer a question, but that's okay. You go ahead.
Sorry. Right now, you can go in and you can say, hey, this whole curriculum isn't working. And they say, well, we're sorry because we have to meet the standards of the new SBAC test. So we have to prepare the kids for this test. So this curriculum has to stay in place. We have to continue to using these hours to educate the kids to be ready to take that test. So right now there is very little that parents can do as far as affecting change in the classroom. And there's actually very little that teachers can do to affect a lot of change in the classroom because they have to meet these. First it was No Child Left Behind, and now it's Common Core. So the name has changed, but it's still the same. And so we've got to free up the teachers' hands. We've got to free up the parents' hands so it can be a more collaborative effort. And a lot of things right now, they don't want. I mean, there used to be a lot more opportunities for parents to be involved. And there's a lot of schools where they don't want as much parent involvement because there's not a lot that we can do. So it's easier to have them not involved than to have them involved.
We go to the phones. We go to our good friend Valerie at 580KIDO. Good morning, Valerie.
Hi, Kevin.
Somehow I knew it was you.
You knew it was me, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to drag back just a little bit. The ladies started off by talking about their concerns about Common Core, and we didn't get really too far down that road. One of the things that Tea Party Bob mentioned was the psychometric testing that now has a presence in the FBAC test, where they're testing for attitudes, behaviors, how you feel about things. That's disturbing in and of itself, but it also results in data. Everything is about, the test is about data. The data aspects need to be discussed in any conversation about Common Core. We'd be remiss not to address those issues because they are a great concern to many people. So I'd like the ladies to explain a little bit about the database, the longitudinal database, where the data goes, and even the data sharing that's taking place between state agencies.
All right, Valerie, thank you for the call. We'll let the ladies answer the questions. Now, again, we hear about this data collection. What are we talking about here? Is this real or is this Alex Jones?
No, it's real. It's very real. It is actually illegal for the federal government to have one database to contain everyone. So what they did is they went through and they gave states grants. Idaho received $9 million to put together what's called the SLDS, the Statewide Longitudinal Data System. And it's a P20W, preschool through 20 years of school onto workforce. They gave every state grants like this. So now instead of having one database for the country, they have 50 identical ones. And they can collect all sorts of data on your child. Anything that they can get their hands on basically can go into this database. And part of that is the psychometric testing that goes on with SBAC, the Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium. It's a psychometric test. It doesn't just test what you know. It tests your attributes, your strengths, your weaknesses, and all that. Common Core isn't necessarily, and the SBAC, the test, isn't about what can be tested or what can be measured per se. It's more about what can be tracked. Data is gold. And if you can sell that data, then, you know, you've made a whole bunch of money off of something that you have taken for free from the students. So there've been there've been changes to the FERPA laws, Federal or Family Education Rights and Privacy Act, which strips parents and families of all the privacy protections that they used to have in their schools.
Well, I heard you can't even opt out of the testing.
Well,
is that true? I mean, I've heard you that it is mandatory. Even Tom Luna, when we had him on, you know, said to me that, well, you know, you don't have to send your kids to public school. But from what I understand, that you better have your kids in the school. And if not, you better be there for the next test or the next test because it's all tied to money or something like that. It's not even an issue of voluntarily doing this, that you have to make your kids comply. They have to get the data or else.
Yeah, that's the policy that our state board of education has implemented. There were some of us that chose to opt our children out anyway. It was a difficult process, and they made it very hard. It was a long process. We are going to be working on trying to get that option for people because for some of us, we don't want our kids tracked in this way. And, you know, we were meeting with one particular senator who was not reelected, and his response to me was, then pull your kids, then homeschool your kids. So
But your tax dollars go to this.
Yeah.
Go to this institution that you don't want to support.
Yes, that was his answer pretty much for everything. Yes, we recognize that this is maybe not the best solution, and if you don't like it, then homeschool your kids. But that's not an option for everybody.
No, it isn't.
And that's why we're in the fight to try and make it a good system for everybody. For those who have the homeschooling option, that's great. And for those who want to still partake in the public school system, we want it to be a good environment for our kids to learn. And, you know, this extensive testing really isn't a good environment. And it's, the reason that they're so adamant about it is because funding's tied to it. And there's a federal mandate that we have 95% of the students reporting. And so if you fall below that 95%, then you're in jeopardy of your and your star rating will fall also. And so they lose all of these. It's all tied back to federal dollars and federal mandates.
Let's go to Rocky in Nampa at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Listen, this Common Core, amongst the problems it has that's been already addressed, the main problem to me is the mathematics. It's so convoluted, you can't even, I can't figure out how to give the right answer. It is unbelievable. It's not like 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. You have to do a matrix. You couldn't calculate anything. With this, you know, you have E equals MC squared, and energy is the equals of the speed of light and the mass squared, and it's just unbelievably, you couldn't even figure that, you couldn't even get past the first part of that thing. It's just unbelievable how complex it is, and why is to dumb down the kid, just like they said. These kids coming out of school are going to be absolutely clueless how things work. And I think, you know, amongst all the other problems with it, that's one of the main problems.
So, ladies, what do you think?
I think he's absolutely correct. You have a lot of child development specialists that have come out and said, for the younger years, these standards, what they're expecting children to do, totally inappropriate. You can't teach brain development to a kindergartner. You know, there are just certain things that they're not going to be able to do because their brains just aren't ready yet. But you get into the higher grades and the math is too easy. So it doesn't matter if it's too hard or too easy. Either way, it's inappropriate and it's not teaching our children to learn in the right way.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the traffic here at 580KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on talking about Common Core. Here's the issue that I'd like to ask you. Are you impressed with either of the candidates for the state school superintendent?
They're both pro-Common Core.
We're both libs.
They're both libs. We've tried to contact Sherry Ybarra. She finally got back to me through Facebook saying she was very busy, but she tried to meet up with us. Did we want to send any questions in advance? And Jana Jones, I've tried to get a hold of her both through her website and through Facebook and have heard nothing back. But
well, they're busy.
I'm the mother of eight. Give me a break. You know, and I know they're busy. I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek. They are busy. We're all busy, though.
I kind of agree with you, though. Really, what are they doing? I mean, school's out. They've got a campaign. I mean, they want to be the state school superintendent. They should be trying to talk to you guys, unless they don't want to hear what you're saying.
I think a lot of it's that. It's just that they've decided. I think it's similar to what Superintendent Luna said. This is an old issue to them. They've been working on it they've known what was coming for a long time. It's newer to us because it came into the schools, and now as parents, we're having to deal with it. But it's decided to them, and they think it's, you know, and I don't know if it'll change their minds as these other states pull out. We informed several of the senators and Tom Luna that there were several states that were in the process of doing things because we work with groups across the nation and kind of inform each other of what's working, what's not. And they, you know, Superintendent Luna kind of mocked and laughed. There's nothing. There's no credible effort anywhere else. This is all just nonsense and hooey that we were spewing and misinformation.
Nonsense and hooey.
Yeah, but you can see as it's unfolded in the last little while that there are several states and are several parents. Stephanie's got some statistics.
Yeah, Rasmussen and Pew lately have both done polls on Common Core, and with the Rasmussen one, parents who have been involved in Common Core there's been a drop by 18% in support for Common Core. It is now at a 34% approval by parents who have their students in the classroom and involved with it. I mean, that's an 18% drop. That's huge.
That is huge. Quickly, one more call at 580-KIDO. Maggie, good morning.
Good morning. I just had a question about the SBAC test. I was told that the teachers were not able to look at the child's screen while the SBAC test is going. So that was my question. I'll get off and let you talk about that a little bit.
All right. Thank you. Ladies, we've got about a minute left here on the program.
No, the teachers can't look at the screen. They've been told they're not to see what's on the test at all. There are sample questions that you can go online and look at, but as for the actual test itself, we're not certain who's actually seen the questions that our children are being asked on these tests.
30 seconds left. Final thoughts?
The 22nd of July, there's a thing that Glenn Beck is putting together, We Will Not Conform. We're not entirely certain what that's going to entail, but it's supposed to be a gathering of the grassroots to help form a plan, what we're going to do to help spread the word in Idaho that Common Core is bad and that we do need to get out.
And get involved in your children's classrooms and really look at what curriculum this SBAC test and the Common Core standards are bringing into it, and then be really involved so that you can be informed and decide if this is something that you want for your children, because we need your help and support.
All right. We appreciate it much more as we talk about this issue coming up. It is the summer, but certainly we care about education. Let's get you to work safe. And Kevin Miller, thanking you all for listening. Coming up tomorrow, it's guns and soccer. That's right, guns and soccer. Good day, God bless, and keep the faith. Serving Meridian.